Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. This is show number 14 and today is Saturday, August 8th, 2020. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I have run our own local chain of shoe stores, Alan Shoes, since 1982. Rob, let's open this show talking about the main premise of this show. That is getting back to business. I thought by now that we would be all back to normal, and business in August is not very good. So the retail business, well, because people go out of town on vacation in August, and there's no winter visitors in town. So while August business has normally been slow at retail, Rob, I'd really like to enjoy what it used to be in August, and it's not there yet. So, Rob, what's a business owner to do when he can't even count on some volume during the summer? You're in advertising. What does he do?
Well, I can tell you one thing he doesn't do, Alan. You don't stop advertising. This is the first time in a long time that we've had a recession. And oftentimes when a recession happens, businesses fearful of declining revenue begin to cut back in various areas, including their ad spending. In the aftermath of the last recession in 2008, ad spending in the U.S. dropped by 13%. Broken out by mediums, newspaper ad spending dropped the most at 27%, radio dropped by 22%, followed by magazines with a decline of 18%, out of home by 11%, television by 5%, and online by 2%. Nonetheless, there have been a number of studies going back nearly a century that point out the advantages of maintaining or even increasing ad budgets during a weaker economy. Those advertisers that maintained or grew their ad spending increased sales and market share during the recession and afterwards. As a popular adage says, when times are good, you should advertise. When times are bad, you must advertise. There are several reasons to advertise during a slowdown. The noise level in a brand's product category can drop when competitors cut back on their ad spend. It also allows for advertisers to reposition a brand or introduce a new product. Brands can project to consumers the image of corporate stability during challenging times. The cost of advertising drops during recessions. The lower rates create a buyer's market for brands. Studies have shown that people can get much more for their money during an advertising slowdown like we're going through right now. When marketers cut back on their ad spending, the brand loses its share of mind with consumers, with the potential of losing current and possibly future sales. An increase in share of voice typically leads to an increase in share of market. An increase in market share results with an increase in profits. There are a number of examples of brands that benefited by maintaining their ad budgets during economic downturns. Here's one, for example, dry cereal. In the 1920s, Post was the category leader in the ready-to-eat cereal category. During the Great Depression, Post cut back significantly its advertising budget, and rival Kellogg's doubled its advertising spend, investing heavily in radio and introducing a new cereal called Rice Krispies featuring Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Kellogg's profits grew by 30%, and the company became the category leader, a position it has maintained for decades. Another one's imported automobiles. The 17-month recession of 1973-75 was triggered by the energy crisis. In late 1973, the U.S. government issued its first miles per gallon report in which Toyota Corolla was second to Honda Civic in fuel efficiency. Since Toyota was experiencing strong sales when the economic downturn hit, the temptation was to drop their ad budget, which they resisted. By adhering to its long-term strategy, Toyota surpassed Volkswagen as the top imported car maker in the U.S. by 1976. Here's another one, quick service restaurants. In the 1990 to 91 recession, Pizza Hut and Taco Bell took advantage of McDonald's decision to drop its advertising and promotions budget. As a result, Pizza Hut increased sales by 61%, Taco Bell sales grew by 40%, and McDonald's sales declined by 28%. Amazon sales grew by 28% in 2009 during the Great Recession. The tech company continued to innovate with new products during the slumping economy, most notably with new Kindle products, which helped to grow market share. Another strategy used by marketers is changing the ad message and using short-term price incentives to match the economic climate with consumers who are seeking a good deal. Some advertisers will offer interest-free loans, coupons, or special promotions to boost sales and market share. When the economy bounces back, regular pricing can return. For some advertisers, though, that don't give cost incentives, they can change the ad message to being expensive but worth it. Another creative strategy is pointing out the value the brand provides. Although the natural inclination for advertisers is to cut back on the advertising during recession, those brands that maintain their ad budget and or change their messaging can get a long-lasting boost in sales and market share. And perhaps the best quote about advertising in a recession came from Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. When asked, "What do you think about a recession?" he responded, "I thought about it and decided not to participate."
Well, that's a great segue, because our big topic of the week, Rob, is our analysis regarding recession.
Well, we are definitely in a recession, Alan. There's no question about it. How bad can it get? That's an interesting question. I think a lot of people don't know how bad it can get. What are your thoughts, Alan?
Well, I think we should wait until segment four, and maybe we will discuss all the things that we pulled up, the information you and I pulled up regarding recession, and that might help some people understand which way they should go. You know, advertising is just one of those. I want to tell you a little bit about preparing for the next phase here. So let's say that you are a candidate for other loans, or you think you need to go to the SBA, or you need to get a banker to fund your business. This is what you need to do. You need to create relationships, Rob, and that's what I spent part of my week doing, is connecting with my personal relationship banker at a couple of our banks and discussing with them our situation and telling them that, you know, we're going to get our tax returns done and everything, and we want to come to them. But what you need to find out, is it someone that is going to participate in the types of loans that you need? Is it an SBA lender? In my case, I wanted to make sure it was a Main Street lender under that new program, and also someone that would be willing to do some commercial real estate loans. So I spent part of my week, talking to two bankers. And you know, you're trying to create the way for you to be able to move forward here, because if you don't take a few steps in advance, by the time it comes, it may be out of your reach. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to apply for that Main Street Lending Program, or something else is going to have a deadline. And so preparing your financial, putting it, your financial house in order, that's important, Rob.
Absolutely, Alan. I think communication is very important with your vendors, with your bankers, with everyone. I think when you're up front with people and talk to them honestly, that you're going to have a better chance of success in getting the things you might need. It's a funny time out there, because the banks, let's be honest, they want to make sure they're going to get paid back, right?
Well, they do. So we're not even sure how that lending is moving going forward. The banks, you know, are doing pretty good, because they made some money off of this recent loan activity. And, you know, they're doing pretty good, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be taking too many risks, you know?
Right. And a lot of, you know, they're doing pretty well, because those PPP loans and everything are being backed by the federal government. So they really can't lose in a lot of cases. So
they cannot lose. They don't have a big enough stake in that deal here. And I think their commission might have taken care of anything that they still got at risk there. So they're doing pretty good, but they're going to be very careful, because they have also government regulations they have to meet. They can only have so many loans that are, you know, flaky, so to speak.
Yeah, right. They have to have the right assets in their portfolios to cover bad loan losses. They have to have this, they have to have that, especially after the last recession in 2008, because they were so over leveraged and overcommitted. So everything changed. It's like the pendulum swings one way and then it goes all the way the other way.
You know, we're hearing a couple of banks that are having some penalty issues for certain things that they did, but overall, the banks are in pretty good shape.
I would think so. You know, as hosts of this show, Alan and I are committed to serving you, our audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created this program to help you, and if you need some help, feel free to give us a call anytime off the air. Call me at my office. You can call Alan at his office. If you want to run some ideas by us, it would be great. We're really, really there to help as many people as we possibly can. And we've got a great guest coming on today, Alan.
Who is it?
He'll be on with us in a minute. Our guest today is Brent Durad. He's with Visit Tucson. He is president and CEO of Visit Tucson. He served as president and CEO for 8 years. He and his 30-member Visit Tucson staff are charged with marketing, promoting, and selling Metro Tucson in Southern Arizona as a leisure, meetings, film, and resort destination to potential visitors throughout the world. Visitors spent $2.6 billion in Tucson in 2019, Alan. He serves currently as a board chair of the Arizona Lodging and Tourism Association and Destination Marketing Association of the West's Education and Research Foundation. He's also a board member of the Arizona Bowl and Tucson Conquistadors, and serves on the Arizona's Governor Tourism Advisory Council. So we're going to be taking a break here, and then Brent's going to be back with us for our guest today.
I want to remind our listeners, they're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to advertise on our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555 or call in line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. If you want to ask our guest a question, please call in. And please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propay, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes. This is Back to Business with Rob and Alan.
And our special guest this morning is Brent Durad, President and CEO of Visit Tucson. Brent, welcome to Back to Business.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Rob and Alan?
We're doing great. How are you this morning?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good, 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 good. So I think the first question is, How has this affected our tourism industry? What kind of a question is that, right?
Yeah, it's as you can imagine. I mean, tourism has been impacted maybe more than any other industry out there from the coronavirus. Just taking a look at trying to rebuild customer confidence in travel, that's something that's going to take a while, no question about it. So probably the biggest or best number I could give you at this point is that looking at just the number of people employed by travel throughout the United States, it's estimated that half had lost their job at some point over the last 3 to 4 months.
So, Brent, this is Alan. When did the impact of COVID happen in the tourism in Tucson calendar? For me, it was the third or fourth week of February.
you know, we really saw, for us, gym shows kind of the biggest thing that we have happening in Tucson from a tourism standpoint annually, with 50-plus shows this year. And that first week, you know, in February was just outstanding. And the second week, it really kind of started to fall off a little bit. So I would agree with you. I think by mid-February, we were starting to see it. But in numbers dropped slightly, I think, up until about mid-March. But then once the stay-at-home orders happened in mid-March, we saw, you know, really mass cancellations, and not only on the leisure side, but for us, you know, meetings business is what's really fallen off over the past few months.
And what about Mexico?
With the border being closed to non-essential or leisure travel, we really haven't had a lot of Mexico visitation at all. That's really more, you know, trade and a little bit of commerce from that standpoint coming across the border. For us, there's new numbers out through the Arizona Office of Tourism, but, you know, we see millions of dollars spent in Tucson and southern Arizona on a daily basis, you know, through our relationships with Mexico. So having that border closed, it's really, you know, cut back on that that leisure travel as well.
You know, Brent, I opened a store at Tucson Spectrum Center at Irvington and I-19. So can you do something about this border closing for me?
I really wish I could. Yeah, it's for us, we've got visitor centers in Hermosillo and Ciudad Obregón. And again, we do a lot of advertising in Mexico. When we take a look at just overall visitation, now Phoenix is our top year-round feeder market, but Mexico is number two behind that. And so to have that cut off completely, it's really had an impact on us.
Yeah, I'm a member of a group called Caballeros del Sol, Brent, and we do quite a bit with Felipe, and we've been down to Mexico several times. When your group goes down there in the spring, or did, I guess you didn't go this last year, but you used to put on some pretty nice trade shows down in Hermosillo and Ciudad Obregón and San Carlos. What's the plan for that in the future?
We think that that'll come back, no question about it. At this point, we're just waiting for the reopening of the border. We're just trying to figure out when that might be. You know, my sense is that it could be after the election at this point before it gets reopened. One of the, I guess, great ironies, and it's the same you know, for Canada as well, with the Canadian border being closed, but you can't drive across the border, but you can still fly. You know, if you wanted to fly to Mexico, you can do that, and same for those Mexican travelers. They're just really, there's not much air service right now, and that's another big aspect of travel is just the trying to get the consumer confidence up to be able to fly and to go back to daily life. We just think it's absolutely going to take a while and really could be a, you know, a year from now before people are really kind of starting to get back to those traveling ways.
So you think maybe a year from now, so are you guys anticipating a slow business with this winter visitor traffic that comes to Tucson next spring? Because that's less than a year away.
We do. We think that what we're seeing out there, and again, we kind of take a look at it from a not only a leisure travel standpoint, which has actually been, you know, fairly decent for us, but with so many different events being canceled and with the meetings being canceled, that's really kind of cut back as well. We think that with the winter visitors who come in for an extended period, because many of those, you know, those folks are driving, we still think that that we'll have a decent winter season. It's just that, you know, we make a lot of money, as you might imagine, you know, on the different events and activities, and especially on the meetings front when it comes to the winter peak season. And, yeah, we just, at this point, we're estimating it could be down as much as 50% coming up the January through March timeframe in 2021.
Ouch. That's not good for business. Other business owners rely on that extra traffic to make our spring really good. And if we have slower periods like the summer months, you know, it's because we've already, you know, we can withstand that because we've already made our money usually March, April, and May. So whatever you could do, we appreciate. Why don't you explain to our listeners exactly all the things that Visit Tucson does and those other things that you're involved with?
So at Visit Tucson, our job at the end of the day is to, we always call it putting heads in beds. So we're out there to try to bring in people from throughout not only the United States, but from throughout the world to come and experience Tucson and in Southern Arizona, to stay in the hotels and resorts. We're funded through those bed tax collections. So when you stay at a hotel or resort, part of that checkout tax comes back to us at Visit Tucson, and then we use that money to market Tucson and Southern Arizona throughout the world. For us, as you can imagine, just taking a look at the unbelievable weather, looking at the national and the state parks that surround us, and then also the cuisine, being able to really leverage Tucson's UNESCO City of Gastronomy, and talking about the locally owned and operated restaurants, and being able to share some of our culture. It's really a lot of fun to be able to do that, and we've seen outstanding growth in tourism and travel over the past decade. Just got the 2019 numbers, and Rob, as you had mentioned, again, $2.6 billion spent by visitors in Tucson and Southern Arizona this past year. We need to find ways to get back to that number sooner rather than later. It's certainly going to take some time, and we don't know if that means that a vaccine needs to be found or if there are ways that we can raise that consumer confidence so that people are more willing and able to travel.
Agency do anything, I don't know if it's called an agency, but your entity, does it do anything with surveying potential visitors or whatever to put some hard numbers together? Or how did you come up with some of these figures?
So there are actually a couple of travel research companies that do this on a national basis. And so they come up with a travel sentiment index that they share on a weekly basis. And so we can really track just how confident people are when it comes to travel. What you can do is just take a look at the COVID-19 caseload in whatever state you're in, and the travel sentiment in terms of people wanting to visit your location. It ebbs and flows as the COVID-19 cases go up and down. We had a point in late May, early June, where cases had really diminished, and there was a lot of people willing and able to travel. We had an unbelievable Memorial Day weekend, but then as people got out and started to travel by the end of June, the caseload started to spike, and what was shaping up to be just a fantastic 4th of July weekend, week before, we saw a lot of cancellations and people kind of withdrawing and not so willing to travel. So we just need to get those cases down on an ongoing basis. If we can do that, get people, because the pent-up demand's there, they just have to feel safe and comfortable with traveling before they'll make that decision.
Are people considering traveling within the state more, perhaps, so that they don't have to leave the borders and, we're relatively in our own bubble here?
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's exactly what we've been marketing. What we've been doing is just asking Tucsonans to consider a staycation. When you take a look at all the health and safety protocols that hotels are following, really a safe environment. It's just, a lot of people, too, are just wanting to make sure they're not interacting with that many people. But the swimming pools that we've seen, open at the hotels and resorts, that's been really popular, and just having people get out and do a little bit to experience the region. We've been promoting that. We'll continue to do so. But locals, a little bit of traffic from Phoenix, that's really been sustaining us over the past couple of months.
How about air service? Has that been cut down substantially here?
It has. The number of flights are down significantly. We're seeing signs from a couple of airlines, American in particular, that they're looking to bring in some additional flights this fall. We typically have good seasonal service as well back to the Midwest, and it's still unknown at this point if additional flights to Minneapolis and Chicago, for example, if they'll come back. We're probably at about less than half of the number of flights that we might typically have as well. So that certainly has had an impact on travel, in and out of Tucson.
And certainly the fact that someone that goes to New York might have to quarantine for 14 days, that's got to play into a travel plan.
And it's really difficult, too, because in the early days of the pandemic, when New York had so many cases, there was the opposite happening. So anyone from New York coming in was having to quarantine for 14 days. Now, with the increase in COVID cases in Arizona, it was just the opposite, where Arizonans flying into New York were having to quarantine. So, as a nation, we need to get our arms around it, no question.
Brent, we're coming up on our news break. Would you stay with us? We've got several more questions for you.
Absolutely.
Great.
My pleasure.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. You're going to see that we have all of the recordings of our previous shows. It will be a great library, and you'll get to see everything from all our great guests in the past. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen. It's KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. Our call-in line is 790-2040. We'll be right back after our commercial break.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra-wide widths of men's and women's shoes, the best selection of wide-width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
For years now, you've heard me say, don't get steamed, call Steamy. But have you ever wondered why? Imagine this. You have a leak, overflow, or some sort of water intrusion into your home. It may have even caused mold to start growing. So you get on the internet and look for someone to fix it. You find some advertisements online that look promising, call around, and probably hire the first person that says they can get out right away. You wait for hours on end, and when the doorbell finally rings, you're greeted by a fast-talking salesman that is anything but professional. And then, you guessed it, you got steamed. By what I call the water damage wannabes, and they are well on their way to taking advantage of your bad situation. This is why the very best plumbers, realtors, roofers, and insurance agents only refer Steamy Concepts to their customers for mold and water damage restoration, period. Steamy Concepts works with all insurance carriers and will always come out for free 24 hours, 7 days a week to inspect your mold and water damage problems. Go to steamyconcepts.com to schedule us out right now.
ROC number 291-200.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947. Go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McLofsky. My wife and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson.
And our special guest today on the line is Brent Durad from Visit Tucson. Brent, welcome back. I have several more questions for you. Allen, go ahead.
Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what the Visit Tucson's all about regarding, you know, who provides the funding? How has that funding been impacted, if at all, for your for Visit Tucson?
Nonprofit organization. So we're a 501c6. That's kept us from being able to tap into the Paycheck Protection Program and other federal relief programs for us. What we've seen is, again, just with the drop in visitation, you know, we had a 43-person staff, budget of about $10.2 million last year. That's dropped down to, we've had to let, several staff go, unfortunately, during the pandemic. We're down to 30 staff right now, and then our budget is $7 million. As I mentioned before, we're funded through bed tax collection. So when people stay in hotels, resorts, part of that checkout tax, part of it goes back to the government to help fund services for all of us. But then part of it comes back to Visit Tucson, and we use that to market, sell, and promote the region.
That's very interesting, and I did miss that previous mention of that. But, you know, I want to know how your board role at the Arizona Lodging and Tourism Association interact with the Visit Tucson job.
It's been, for me, just a lot of fun to be able to work on the, you know, the whole statewide political spectrum. It's been very interesting, you know, just taking a look at some of the issues that we've been facing. One of the things that, that we've been trying to do, again, with the hotels and resorts throughout the state, is just ensure that we've got our AZ Safe and Clean program that that hotels can be certified by. We just want to make sure, again, that anyone staying at a hotel or resort, that they're going to have a safe experience. And with the protocols that are put in place through that program, we've been, I think, very effective at being able to you know, provide you know, that type of direction and ensure that people can have a safe stay. We're also looking at things like you know, tourism marketing authorities that would allow groups like Visit Tucson to be able to work with the hoteliers, generate a little additional money out there through a fee, and be able to get out there and aggressively market the state. We also work with the legislature just to ensure that the Arizona Office of Tourism, hopefully we can keep their funding strong and keep their marketing efforts out there to help partner with us to get Arizona's message out throughout the world.
Brent, we have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Charles, welcome to Back to Business. What's your question for Brent?
Thanks. This is fascinating. Brent, does the C6 status allow you to do anything that you couldn't do under, say, a C3 or some other structure, number one? And number two is, does it prohibit you from doing anything that you would like to do? And I'll listen to my answer on the radio.
Okay, thank you. So a C3 is more of a charitable nonprofit. And again, with the, all of those dedicated revenues going, you know, back to charitable purposes. But with a C6 organization, a lot of times there's at least a perception that there's a lobbying component to that. Because we are funded through Pima County, City of Tucson, and the town of Laurel Valley, we're actually precluded in our contracts from lobbying those organizations. As I've mentioned before, though, too, just with my role at the Arizona Lodging Tourism Association, that's also a C6, and we are out there lobbying, you know, fairly heavily, just to ensure that that tourism's needs are taken care of. In terms of just the restrictions, as a C6, we're audited from a financial standpoint annually, and again, our efforts have to go back into the sales, marketing, and promotion. Essentially, we have to ensure that the dollars that we receive are used for the purposes that we contract for.
Brent, what kind of financial help is out there for some of these hoteliers that are going through problems right now? Are there any?
Well, and again, I think we're all following pretty closely right now what's going to happen with, is there an extension of the Paycheck Protection Program, and what might that look like? There's also EIDL grants that people have been able to take advantage of right now. It looks like there's a little bit of an impasse currently in terms of looking at future you know, federal relief. I'm sure that those conversations will continue you know, over the coming weeks and months. One of the things, I guess, that you know, probably concerns you know, me the most, and I think many in our industry, I'd mentioned that we've got many people in the tourism and hospitality industry out of work. And so when the $600 federal stimulus ended, that was something that, again, a lot of people were certainly relying upon that to be able to pay their bills. There's some long-term worry in terms of what you know, what that looks like in terms of people being able to, you know, buy food, pay mortgages, and those kinds of things. So hopefully, even if it's a lesser amount or there's some type of negotiation happening, there's some additional stimulus that can come forward just to keep, you know, people afloat until the economy really begins to recover.
And I guess here's the $64,000 question for you. What's going to happen with Gem Show next year?
Yeah, it's yeah, for us, it's just so vital. The conversations we've had, we've got a lot of optimism out there. There's actually seven gym shows that will operate in late September. Our website, here's our shameless plug, it's visittucson.org, but we have a page on there, tucsongymshow.org. with the details on the September shows. I believe at least five of the seven are planning to move forward in September with the safety protocols, with mask wearing and the physical distancing requirements in place. But with the 50 shows coming up in February, for us, you know, we still, again, we haven't heard from one show that plans to cancel yet. Everybody's still cautiously optimistic that they'll be able to proceed. But we do think that, especially with the international, travel issues that we're having right now, I think it's most likely going to be down in terms of impact. We may have the 50 shows. I think it's probably going to be fewer people, hardly any, international visitors coming in for that, and most likely domestic. We're thinking it's probably going to be somewhere in the 50 to 70% range impact-wise of what it typically would be.
Is there any way of augmenting things virtually for the show?
You know, and I think that'll be up to the individual show owners and operators if they, want to take a look at that. We would certainly love to partner, with any of them that would be willing, to do that from a virtual standpoint. Anything that we can do to keep Tucson top of mind out there among, the visitors who typically come in. We just want to make sure that, again, it'll be a difficult time tourism-wise. We'll find our way through it. We know that we'll recover fully at some point. It's just going to take some time, no question about it. But the virtual aspects on the gym show, it's a great suggestion and something we can take a deeper look at.
And finally, what's your best advice for small hoteliers out there and people in the hospitality industry, the Airbnbs and the VRBOs? What's your best advice for them right now?
What we're seeing, and I guess it really shouldn't be any surprise, but the short-term vacation rentals are actually faring better than hotels and resorts at this point. The fact that, again, you're not, in a location with, potentially hundreds of people. You're looking at an individual home, a condo. There's some safety to that. The ability to go out and purchase your own food and have your own secluded space. We've just seen higher occupancies over the past few months with VRBO and with Airbnb than we have with the hotels and resorts. But again, I just think that the biggest and best advice I could give is just to, again, keep your overhead as low as you possibly can. And I think we're certainly seeing that out there. Continue to market, really take a look at the drive market. So for us, we're marketing staycations, and we're seeing the visitors are coming in right now. It's Metro Tucson, a little bit from Phoenix, a little bit from Southern California, and that's really kind of what's holding us through. But for us, I guess our message would be, especially out there to Tucsonans, if you can stay one night, I don't care if it's an Airbnb, VRBO, hotel, resort, before the end of this calendar year, you'll make a world of difference. You'll help those small operators and help to bring back some jobs.
Our guest this morning has been Brent Durad from Visit Tucson. Brent, thank you so much for being with us. You've really given us a lot of great information, and best of luck to all of you and your staff and everybody in the hospitality industry.
Well, thanks, Rob and Alan. Appreciate it very much, and great show. I'm certainly enjoying it. Well done.
Thank you.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, or call online at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Alan Shoes. The sponsors of Back to Business, Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. Our big topic of the week is a discussion regarding recession. So, Rob, do you have any information that might help us with that?
Well, I do, Alan. The U.S. is officially experiencing an economic recession, according to a Monday statement from private nonprofit research organization National Bureau of Economic Research. While many experts and economists generally define a recession as a GDP decline in back-to-back quarters, they defer to NBER to officially make the call. In deciding whether to identify a recession, the committee weighs the depth of the contraction, its duration, and whether economic activity declined broadly across the economy. The organization concluded that the unprecedented magnitude of the decline in employment and production and its broad reach across the entire economy warrants the designation of this episode as a recession, even if it turns out to be briefer than earlier contractions. Economists say the factors leading up to the current economic slowdown, such as how fast it hit and who it is affecting, are different from previous economic downturns and may lead to a different outcome. It's a very unusual circumstance that we find ourselves in, says Cecilia Roos, an economist and the dean of the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton. COVID-19 has already exacted an immense impact on the economy. Here's a look at three major ways the pandemic-driven recession is different from the other previous downturns, such as the Great Recession. The source of the current recession is not financial. In previous recessions, the economic downturn resulted from issues in the financial markets, oil prices, monetary policy, or a specific sector in the economy. The Great Recession, which lasted from December 2007 until June 2009, was brought on by a subprime mortgage crisis and lax lending standards that led to the collapse of the mortgage industry. One of the causes of the so-called Reagan Recession, which lasted from July 1981 until November 1982, was the Federal Reserve's monetary policy, which raised interest rates to curb high inflation. But the current recession was caused by a public health crisis. It was not started because of a crisis in the financial sector, such as the last Great Recession, says Rouse. Because of the current health concerns, the remedy is for us to stand down and pause the economy. In that way, it's a self-induced recession, which is highly unusual in the U.S., says Jamie Furman, an economist and professor at Harvard. He compares the current U.S. economy to a medically induced coma. It's worth noting that pandemics and public health crises have affected economies in other parts of the world before. In West Africa, the 2014 Ebola virus led to major economic fallout affecting trade, employment rates, GDP growth, and other things, according to the United Nations.
You know, there's no doubt, Rob, that many businesses are hurting. Some businesses are doing better this year. Most are not. Given all that's happened, I was surprised to see the federal government's unemployment figures and rate the other day. Did you pull that up, Rob?
Let me get that right now, Alan. But they said things were a little bit better than they thought. But, you know, it's going to be hard to tell what happens here.
You know, I think it was 10.2. Maybe you're going to have some commentary on that. But I think that Arizona's rate is actually doing better. Do you remember that, Rob?
Well, nationally, the unemployment rate is 10.2%, which is a little bit better than what they thought. Arizona's is a little bit better. I think it's under 10%. But one of the problems, obviously, is who knows what's going to happen in the future.
That's right. You know, I did notice that our COVID rate, our infection rate, our hospitalization rate, our death rate has been coming down, which is a great sign. It's still higher than it was maybe 6 weeks ago, so we don't want to use, you know, the sudden good news to say everything's great, but that was good. And the unemployment rate, which we, you know, I do know, it's 10.2. The Arizona rate works on a different cycle, Rob, and I didn't feel that it was right to report something that's 4 weeks old because of all the changes that have been happening in Arizona since that time.
Absolutely, you know, and, you know, the governor's shutdown of restaurants or bars and gyms and all that several weeks ago, that has had an effect. It's going to be interesting to see what happens next week with the gyms, if they're going to get open. The governor lost his bid to keep them closed, and we're going to see if they have to come up with some, you know, ways that the gyms can open safely. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, I sure miss going to the gym every day, and it's been a real struggle for us. So I hope they get it back. I hope they figure out a way that we can make them safe. It's just an interesting time.
You know, we were talking about different things regarding recession, and you asked me to pull up a list of things that were good products to maybe get into during the recession. But the list I pulled up, Rob, has to do with online. That's certainly about brick and mortar, but I would encourage everybody that if you don't have an online presence, you try to have one, because maybe that's going to be a lifeline for us. We have one, and it's very helpful. But these are 12 recession-proof product ideas that you can sell online that are good during the recession. Tupperware is at the top of that list.
Interesting.
Candy, cosmetics, pet care products, movies, TV and video games, clothing, baby products, food and drink. Last but certainly not least, the food and drink continues to be essentials during economic downturns.
Interesting. You know, and something that people don't realize right now is a lot of home improvement businesses are doing very well because people are spending so much time at home. They're spending lots of money fixing up their houses. They're doing this and doing that. You go to Home Depot, they're packed. Lowe's is packed. People are remodeling. They're buying televisions. So the monies that they would be spending on going out to eat and maybe vacationing and other things are going into their homes.
You know, the banker mentioned that. One of the bankers I mentioned earlier, I talked to a banker, and they were saying, you know, a lot of their businesses, not a lot of them, some of their businesses are doing well, and they happen to mention home improvement.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because a lot of people have not been financially impacted, especially people that, you know, retirement funds, they're living on Social Security and they own their own homes and that sort of thing. They've got the wherewithal to be able to do some of these things. So there are some areas of the economy that are doing well and will continue to do well.
Well, you asked me to look up this other question here. How do you prepare for a recession? Well, we came up with some ideas. We're already in the recession, folks, so if you haven't already started on these ideas, you need to get started. Build up an emergency fund. Most of us probably know we should have an emergency fund equivalent to 3 to 6 months of living expenses. I'm not sure that that's not an old figure, Rob, because I think that 3 to 6 months wouldn't have been enough during this.
Not for this one, Alan.
Not for next one. Check your spending. Get ahead of any debt. Maintain your regular investments. Refine and diversify your skill sets. That's what's on that list.
Well, you know, preparation is everything. Preparation is everything. And you know something, Alan? There's a book out there that I read many, many years ago, and I still think it's a worth a read. It's called The Fourth Turning, and it came out in 1997. And look it up. It kind of predicted this whole thing, if you want to know the truth. And it goes through the generational impacts, and we go through these turnings every 20 to 25 years. And we are currently in a fourth turning, which is a crisis. I think we could all agree we're in a crisis situation right now.
Well, you know, now that you said that, a lot of my right-wing Facebook, you know, you call them pals, okay?
But friends.
Friends, according to Facebook, they've been saying, well, look at all this stuff. It was pre-predicted. So you're not saying that, are you?
No, but, you know, it's just generationally things happen. And, you know, crises come up, and it just so happens this pandemic is a crisis, but it could have been one of many other things. But
well, wait a minute. Doesn't the White House have, like, this playbook that what to do in a pandemic?
I don't think our government has any kind of playbook from the White House to the Congress to the Senate to our states. So I think we're all kind of freelancing right now. I guess that might be a good word for what's going on in this country.
You don't think any political things are getting in the way?
No, never. Could never happen.
Well, let me tell you this. So that we don't play too far to one side, I'm going to share with you a Facebook. Someone shared this on Facebook, a couple of things here, and we just want to share with you those this morning. So we're in the fifth month of fighting COVID-19. These words made me laugh, so I'm sharing them with you. There's a lot of truth mixed in to consider. So let me get this straight, says number one. There's no cure for a virus, but that can be killed by sanitizer and hand soap. Two, it's too early to put up the Christmas tree yet. I've run out of things to do. Three, when this virus thing is over, I still want some of you to stay away from me. Four, if these last months have taught us anything, it's that stupidity travels faster than any virus on the planet. Five, just wait a second. So what you're telling me is that my chance of surviving all this is directly linked to the common sense of others? You're kidding, right? Number six, if you believe this will end and we will get back to normal just because we reopen everything, raise your hand. Now slap yourself with it. So those are six. We're going to read the other six next week, and we want to say our goodbyes pretty soon here. Rob, do you have any last parting words?
I do, Alan. You know, we started a little thing last week called our Putts of the Week, and we have a Putts of the Week, and I'd like to announce it. This woman was arrested for beating a disabled chopper who asked her to put a mask on in a crowded Staples store. She was arrested for allegedly assaulting a 54-year-old woman in a New Jersey Staples after a dispute over a face mask. The Hackensack Police Department announced on Tuesday that 25-year-old Terry Thomas had been arrested for the accident that occurred on July 29th. She threw this woman to the ground and broke her leg. This particular woman happened to have just gone through a liver transplant.
I announce her Putts of the Week, and we're going to say our goodbyes here. This has been Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Please join us next week on Saturday at 9 a.m. on this station.